will help you on the developer experience. We'll talk about API features, things that we're missing, things that, okay, this is good, you have enough stuff, but that will just get us some way for the MVP. If you want to go further, if you want to think about what our customers are using, we'll kind of doing like a list of requests of things that we are missing in terms of API, so you make your platform stronger as well and you have a better offering.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
Do you want to get a drink first? There's a happy hour happening right now. So feel free to get a drink and be in the room with your drink. Personally, just got a Diet Coke, but I'm sure you can find all types of boozy drinks over there. But very excited to talk about partnership and developer relations and how they work together, sharing experience from what I did at Typeform and at other companies before. So I work for Typeform. We've been around for 10 years. We just celebrated our 10 years anniversary. We raised a Series C. We originate from Barcelona in Spain, but we have an office here in San Francisco. And now we're a remote company like everybody else. About 125,000 customers. And we do forms, surveys, and we try to help you interact with your brands in a better way, your customers. So instead of asking name, email, and address, then it's more a conversation that you have between your customers and whoever needs the data right now. So we do this with forms at scale, but we launched a couple of years ago, we launched also another product called VideoAsk. And VideoAsk here is more a way to present yourself, your authentic self, and your true self with your video. And so like this, you have more interactions and you get to present yourself and your true brand. Well, so let's talk about developer relations. We call that developer advocacy. We call that developer evangelism. They're more or less the same thing. In general, it gets into the developer relation umbrella. And if I had to describe what is my day-to-day job, I'll say for people, it could be hard because it involves a different hat. It involves a different type of personalities and it involves different teams. And each company could have their own different flavor of what it means for them. So here is an illustration. And as you saw in my background, I love Legos. So might be a lot of Legos in these presentations. But you can think about developer relation, a developer advocate as someone that is technical, has a technical background or technical knowledge. They don't have to be a full-on developer and computer science engineering degree and things like this, but have an understanding for the technology. Someone that likes to write and tell stories, because a lot of the things that we're going to do is going to present what our customers and the customers or the developers are doing. We do also a lot of social events. So try to be a nice social person, meeting people, being someone that is also for networking and introducing people to each other, as we're going to interact a lot with the community that's around our products. Builder, because you want to build stuff. You're going to build some small projects. You're going to demonstrate value through some examples. So you had to build stuff. Doing a lot of support for the customers that are right now using your product and your API, people that want to go a bit advanced, helping the sales team. Customers are our prospects. You deal a bit with customer support. And finally, you try to bring a bit more fun to this because programming could be boring and you have the liberty here and to be a bit more creative and bring the fun to the journey. If you look at where it sits into the organization and where people usually put this, it could be in different places. I personally have been in many different departments between marketing, between its own platform department, between engineering and product as well. So you can say that this is someone that is like cross-functionally working with all those teams at the same time. And when you look at this and you say that your main audience will be developers, you can think that this is a role and this is a function that you will have only in dev tool companies. So Twilio, it makes sense to have a developer relations because their first customers are developers. And so you need to go meet them and talk to them as developers. And you can think about this for Twilio, you can think about this for AWS, for DigitalOcean, all like the tech companies that are actually building infrastructure and APIs. But right now, we're also getting into the SaaS world. And as we saw during the talk this afternoon, that you need this also to understand the conversations with your partners and bring more people into your ecosystem. And if you think even further, right now we're talking about developers, but developers is only a tip of the iceberg. It's only a part of the people that are building on your platform. Now you have to also include what we call the no-coders, the people that are playing around tools like Zapier and Integromat and Make, which are the same tool actually, because they rebranded. But those type of tools, those people are also builders and they also use APIs, they're also building workflows and they're also building complex stuff. So as a SaaS tool, you may not think that you need developer relations. You should rethink this and hopefully I'm able to convince you on this way. Well, so my main goal, really, as a person in developer relation, my main goal is to make developers successful, developers champions. I need to empower them with all the tools so they can build the best integrations, solve the problem that they have right now, and they can really be the king of their own kingdom internally for their own company or externally as they're building their business. And I don't really care who they are. They could be a hobbyist in a garage, some startup just starting. They could be a big tech company that bought an enterprise license with us, a partner that just wants to build an integration and be listed on our app directory and piggyback on our community and offer a service to our customers. For me, they're all the same. We give the same tools to all developers, regardless of who they are. We didn't make any distinction of which API, which functionality they have access to. Everybody is on the same page, and I care for all of them the same way. But to get those folks interested in your platform, one thing that starts, and probably a bad thing to say in San Francisco with wildfire season coming up, but we need a spark of inspiration. And this spark of inspiration could come in different ways. And I will just give you some examples because people have different ways of learning. People have different ways to interact and they don't interact with your company the same way. But we do things like in-person event hackathons. This is the largest student hackathon in Barcelona, in Europe, actually. It's happening in Barcelona. And over there, we'd hope to present our APIs or present our platform to innovative students, hackers, that are going to tear it apart, tell us everything that's wrong about it, and also submit ideas to us of like, oh, what if I can do this? Can I connect it to this way? Can I use a different language that you don't have and don't provide maybe? And so through this, we get to be on the field learning about what developers want and what crazy ideas they have. We hope to get some innovations from this that we are probably going to push in terms of marketing and showcase, but also we're going to get feedback on our integration and on our platform. So it's a good way to get like beta testers if you have new functionalities on the developer front. We also do some stuff that are online right now. This is what we transitioned to. And this was last week. Instead of doing webinars that the whole industry have been doing, we do something that are more live coding, interactive, developers to developers, being very humble about the work of a developer, that if you fail live, you just have to showcase how to debug and how to move forward. And so this is really different than a scripted webinar experience that could be a bit boring for the regular developers. So putting ourselves really in the shoes of a developer and what we want to learn usually and how we interact with the content. And then other stuff that we do is more like a Friday hack. So things that we want to explore, use this power to push boundaries of our existing product. And so, and through this, also document it. So this example is a hack that we did with Algolia. They had a service to offer address search, and this is not something we support natively in the forum, and this is something that a lot of people have been asking, and it's on our roadmap, but not there, not here yet. So a way to hack this would be that we are building this and showcasing there is a way to do this, coming with a yes solution to help our customers and also demonstrate different things. And so through this inspiration, we demonstrate different things. We demonstrate that we're an open platform, which is kind of interesting for us because we're actually not a developer tool. We are totally the opposite. We're a no-code platform. We actually encourage people without coding knowledge to come on Typeform and build Typeforms without having to ask any developers or any technical person. So our challenge is to showcase that we are an open platform. Even if you're a developer, there are things to be done on top of us. There are things that you can automate. And by using our APIs, you're going to do way more things through this. It's a way for us in the partnership conversation to test the water. We don't invest a lot of time building a full-fledged integration with partners. We just make a small hack, we try things, and from this, we're going to get some early learnings that eventually we can use to continue the conversation. And really, what it helps us at the end when we do a lot of those small hacks, whenever we come to the conversation with those partners, we don't come empty-handed. It's kind of a bad thing to go in a conversation and not bringing a nice gift to your host, right? Here, our gift is a hack. Look at what we were able to build with your public API, with our API. We were able to build this. We were able to document it. We had other users are interested into it. And this is the foundation that we can use to go along and continue building the relationship. So if you are interested by the metrics and the money, you'll be like, oh, this is all cool, but you're all talking about long tail developers. They might not be paying. They're doing fun side projects as students. This doesn't bring value to us. Well, actually, the work that those long tail developers are doing is benefiting for who is ever coming next. So us as a platform, people are interested in the platform. We're just making the toys available. We're bringing the Lego bricks and we'll let you play with it. And hopefully one day there's someone that comes in and is like, this is what I've built. It is actually that happened to us. We had partners that never talked to us before and come talk to us and say, oh, here's it. I have my integration. By the way, we're launching in 2 weeks. Do you want to do co-marketing with us? And this was only possible because in the first place, we let our toys open. We let people know that we were doing things. And through this, and through the people that went through our documentation, give us feedback, all the students that were stopping at our booth and telling, oh, where is your example to do authentication? Where is your example in JavaScript? Where is your example in PHP? We grew our base and we test-proof our documentation. So now when someone is sitting their marketplace, they're looking for easy integration to build, they can look at us and be like, oh, Typeform, 2 APIs calls to make, I have a simple integration and that works. And so think about people sitting their marketplace, they will have to pick which apps they build first and which they want to open to others to build. And so you want to be hopefully one of the ones they pick because it's easy to build, easy to implement, and easy to fill a marketplace. This is what we've done with the documentation, providing examples, but also taking care of the developer experience. So the developer experience is very similar to user experience. It's like, what is the journey of a developer on your platform? How do they get their keys? How are they going to debug it? And you do this for the overall majority of developers, but it's going to benefit with also the partners. So all the work you do for developers in general will help you for partners. But sometimes DevRel is also here as a way to go in the jungle with a machete and set up the trail. Like, we may not be here to build full-fledged products, but just discover, push the boundaries, and then when we found out how it worked, we can let the whole team own what we've built. And this is exactly what happened when one of our partner, that was not a partner yet, reached out and said, like, oh, I'm about to launch a marketplace. Here's our API doc. Do you want to be in? Do you want to check it out? And so for us is looking at like what we can do. Can we jump on this opportunity? And if you think about it, this type of opportunity may happen just once in a lifetime. If you missed the Halbop comet in 97, your next chance to see it is in 4,385. So I hope we had invented a technology by then for you to still be on the surface of Earth, but it's most likely it's not going to happen. So this type of one-time opportunity means also that people are going to put, when they launch, all their efforts on the marketing to make a big splash of, hey, by the way, we're launching an app store, we're launching a marketplace, we're launching apps and integrations, and come be one of our launch partners. And you want to do that early, because once the marketplace is open, once everybody builds on this, it could be that someone has taken your category. And so if you were in the early days of iOS, having access to the iOS SDK was fun. You can build any type of apps. But at one point, they saturated into fart apps, and you don't want to be in a category that's already oversaturated. And a good presentation is not a good presentation without a Steve Jobs quote, for sure. And so this is what we did with our good friends at Intercom. So we helped them. We got access early to the APIs and the documentation. And this is how we got their product on launch. But we were in all the marketing. We were in a lot of the announcements around this. And we got like prime spot on being one of the 10 first apps that were built on the ecosystem. This is an announcement they made at their next conference. It was, Francois was in the room. You took that picture, yes. So Bill Graham, San Francisco, big announcements. That's how they talk to their customers. It's like, oh, by the way, we're launching this big thing that's about integrations, and now you can connect with all your favorite tools. And so having this real estate is important. It's also a good thing to show to your team that when you're launching, you have impact, and you will get the visibility, and you see that in the number of people that are installing the apps afterwards. It worked once, so let's do that more than once. We did that similarly with our good friends of Notion. And if you look at the email that was sent when Notion API was launched, when the platform was launched, we also got a prime spot there because we were one of the first people to build on top of it. And actually, they only mentioned 3 apps at that time, and 2 were workflow apps, and we were pretty much the only SaaS app that was launching with them. And because there was so much demand for the Notion API, they had already a big community. We even got more visibility on our integrations because they have a huge community of users that are just Notion fanboys and fangirls all over the world. It's like, oh, I love Notion so much. I have a YouTube channel all about it. And so we got a lot of content talking about the new launch of the Notion API and the 3 integrations that were available and a lot of visibility around this. So here, this is where I think DevRel is interesting. When you have a relationship with a partner and you're building something together, is we're going to talk developer to developer. We'll talk about your developer experience. You give me access to your API early before anybody else, I will put my dumb hat on and I'll be like, I'm a dumb developer. I'm going to follow exactly the instructions that are on your website. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to report everything and I'm going to tell you what you can improve, the things that were confusing, how you can provide more examples, how you can guide them, things that will make the life of people that come afterwards easier. So this is what we bring when you partner with us. will help you on the developer experience. We'll talk about API features, things that we're missing, things that, okay, this is good, you have enough stuff, but that will just get us some way for the MVP. If you want to go further, if you want to think about what our customers are using, we'll kind of doing like a list of requests of things that we are missing in terms of API. So you make your platform stronger as well, and you have a better offering. And there's also here a bit of pressure on your shoulders as you're going to be one of the first app to be launched. This is what people are going to see when you launch, and this is what the inspiration is going to come from afterwards. You're building the gold standards for the platform. So you have to bring your 150% self on premise to give you a good experience and build a good experience on this. Think about the people that built on Slack first. They didn't have buttons. And so they invented buttons and they pushed the boundaries around this. And now the Slack API, the Slack framework, gives you buttons so you can interact and build things around this too. So bring the setting up the gold standards for this ecosystem and their integrations. So if you think about this as well as where do I fit this person? I wanted to mention this because naturally for me, I found my home in partnership, but it might not be the case for other people in other organizations. So sometimes I felt like it was a ball in a pinball machine going into different places. But I will say that home, and I think that works for partnership as well, is home is where the platform is a product. So you're interested to open up your features, getting more people around it, getting more people to build on top of you, people that are going to care about this. So who is the product team that's going to care about this? And they're going to be measured on those metrics. It also means that developers are the customers. So we talked about developer experience. So everything is going to be around the onboarding for this. This is where it's going to matter. In my case, whenever you join Typeform as a developer and you activate a regular account, but you turn yourself into a developer, you get an email from myself. They're like, hey, I'm Nico. It's not a marketing email. It's just like, I'm here available for you. I'm here to talk to you and help you out. And so, because that's what we care. If I was a salesperson, if I was somebody else in the company, then my customers wouldn't be the developers and wouldn't care the same way. But in this case, we do everything for developers. So we make sure they have the great experience. We make sure we push them to the right resources. And then finally, the long-term goal of your team and this function is that you want to build a bigger ecosystem. I'm not the money guy. I'm not charging anybody. Sometimes, actually, when we talk to bigger customers, I don't know how much we charge. Because what I care about is that people are actually having all the tools to grow and do the stuff that they want in a fun and innovative way. So if you're interested around learning more about developer relations, selling to developers, I can recommend you different things. I think one book that is really nice is a book written by Jeff Lawson, who's the founder and CEO of Twilio. And I think he knows a bit of things about selling to developers. And the whole story about the Ask Your Developer campaign, if you haven't seen those billboards around the world, not only in San Francisco, I think it makes sense. They were so big at establishing their brand as we're doing SMS. People know us. We've been everywhere where developers were. Just ask them, they will know about us. So the whole strategy behind this and what it means that developers, and also that developers are a buyer persona. They're also part of the discussion when they buy a product. And I don't think if you're building a SaaS business nowadays, one of the box into the RFP is one of the box into should I buy this platform or not is the API. And so if you don't have an API, if you don't have an open platform, it might play against you. And then specifically about developer relations, this is a book from Mary Tengel, who has been in the industry for a while, interviewing a bunch of other developer relations folks at different companies on how they do things differently, about metrics, how you measure this, how you incentivize people, all those stuff. As we like conferences, I can see in the room, there are a bunch of events called DevRelCon happening all around the world. They started in London, but they have a San Francisco chapter and a bunch of YouTube videos that you can rewatch as well. Yeah, with this, I thought it was like a quick overview of like what we call DevRel, how we use DevRel at Typeform, and maybe something that you can bring home and use in your own team. Thank you.
Great presentation. Thanks a lot for that. My question would be, what comes first, the API and SDK or the developer relations manager?
That's a good question. In our case, the API came first because we're a 10 years old company. So we started with a big monolithic app where everything was talking to each other, but not in an API fashion. So the first part was a lot of engineering work to take the pieces apart and say, okay, now everything is going to be API based. So eventually everything that we build internally could be open to the rest of people so that others could enable this. So like everything that we had about metrics, everything that we had about changing forms and all stuff, we could do that on API. We didn't start from scratch. So that was the main engineering work first. And having someone there early and with that in the vision helped push the API as a product and what we needed as an API and how we enabled people. So I will say you can have someone early that will take care of this, take care of putting all the tooling in place for the documentation. If you have support from engineering, this is the best because you're going to have to enforce things on engineering. So everything stays up to date and you have to reduce the manual effort of maintaining the documentation up to date and eventually the SDKs that you can also generate. So having someone early and owning this means success later, I will say.
I have a quick one. You had a couple examples of marketplaces you got listed in early as just good examples of where to dedicate your time, but you're only one man. So how do you choose which developers to commit your time to?
So one of the things that we did here is looking at the companies are compatible, our customers are using it, and are we part of a stack? And this is usually like the natural fit. For some things, it's sometimes really easy. We just look at support tickets and it's already a top request. So we just pick it off the pile. But really what we also saw is like how we can, by doing one thing, so like by building this integration with Notion, for example, how we can convey the rest of the message. It's like, it's an integration, but we also an open platform. They have an API. And if you want to go further, like, this is something we did a webinar with them as well, like a live coding thing with them where we showcase our APIs. There is the integration that you can use out of the box, but if you want to build your own and make your own framework, then you can use the APIs. So yeah, picking on like the customers, the fit for this and like how they complete each other. And we missed a lot of launching opportunities for sure. Because yeah, we couldn't be on all of them at the same time.
Hey, Nicholas. I know you've worked on so many interesting and random projects as well on the DevRel side of things. What's the most unexpected DevRel project you've worked on today?
That I built?
Built or maybe a developer has built.
People do crazy stuff with our things. We once found, and I still remember this, someone that, so a typeform is a typeform and you render it as a typeform. And so there is no way to render a typeform in your own interface. Our interface is really what we're very proud of. But someone wanted to have their own interface. And what they did is using our API to get the structure of the form and render it their own way, adding images that we were not supporting, adding transitions that we were not supporting. I don't say that's something that we encourage, but the effort that people went through to just build this was amazing. And so seeing the dedication, seeing the effort was two things. Wow, you're crazy. Thank you for doing this. But hey, what if, and so bring the conversation and the feedback, what if we were enabling this for others? And so what can we enable by doing this? Can we support more features that we don't have right now by letting people render their own thing? So for example, right now, Typeform, when it renders, you can't stop it. So you go first name, last name, all the stuff. I mean, more like, hey, what is your name? Hey, Nico. we don't do name and last name. But there is nothing was like, oh, you left your phone number. Let's verify that this phone number is right. Like you can't interrupt the form. But by doing this, this person was actually building this system where they recreated their own rendering system and they were just going one question at a time and coming back and doing all this work. So this is inspiration from us on like product-wise, what could we improve and what will enable if we're giving this type of APIs to them.
I'm curious, someone like you, like I missed the very start of this. I'm not sure. Did you start off your career as an engineer and get into dev relationships or did you go through support? And what do you think is like, if I wanted to find someone like you, where would I look?
There are nicer people than me, for sure. So my realization of why I think I fit well in DevRel, and that could happen to a lot of different people at different stages of their career. But for me, I had a job here in San Francisco about 10 years ago, where I was building Facebook apps at the beginning of Facebook apps. So being on the Facebook early API stuff, being on the Facebook marketplace, building apps all the time, having the API change on you every day, right? If you remember, FarmVille crashing on you every single day because Facebook changed the API. So being interacting with people on the other side of like, oh, this is what we need as developers. This is what you're providing us, like giving feedback to the people that were building the platform and interacting with those folks. That was really exciting. And realizing also, and this is something that you can realize here in San Francisco, that you have more fun outside of your work doing social events. So organizing meetups, organizing hackathons, connecting people together, being in the open space of APIs, that was really cool. So I realized that I was a social geek, pretty much. I like technology, but I really like much the community and being here and building stuff quickly and interacting with people. So I will say for good people, you can find those people in your existing community. I'll say if you already have a lot of users that are passionate, and I think what Nick said on Coda and people that turned from, oh, I'm just a Coda user into I'm now a power user and now I'm a coder and now I'm providing packs to the ecosystem. I think that's the best way forward. And I'm sure you have those champions in your own community. It's just a way to find them and enable them. Another way is there's a lot of things about education. So people that have been into the education industry before will be great advocates as well. The challenge is when you get started, the first person you hire, usually they do a lot of things. And then as you grow the team, they will be more specific. So you have someone that will be more on the education side, more on the technical writing side, more on the event stuff. But at first, you need a bit of jack of all trades, I'll say.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe, and join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.